There's still time this year. There are three Bible texts. The first one is in 2 Corinthians 6. It's the first couple of verses, but there is a phrase that now is the day of salvation. The second is in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. It's Saul of Tarsus lying on the ground saying, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the third one is in Revelation 22, verse 12, and it's the words of Jesus, "And now, behold, I come quickly." You see, there are only a few hours left until the new year of 2018 arrives. And all around the world, an incredible number of people will be part of the countdown that will usher in a new year. But all of life is in effect a countdown. So every moment is important. Every moment of our lives is relevant. Many will review the year that's almost gone, and they will feel disappointed, even distressed by what they have experienced and by what they have accomplished. And there are those who are going to look back and feel it's been a wasted year. Politicians who think they are in charge bemoan the saga that's going called Brexit. Others are smugly reflecting how they have frustrated the plans and ideas with which they were determined to disagree. Crime and violence has haunted our cities with ominous terror attacks in some of our city centres. So it seems in our society, so many have encountered danger, fear, and loathing. And if you look back over the year and glance around the world that we live in, you will see conflict and chaos and war and rumors of wars. There are 100 billionaires, 102 actually, in India. It has a space program to rival anyone else. And yet the people across that nation live in poverty and in squalor. And one Sunday in February, you made a special offering. And that offering, along with funeral fees and personal gifts, enabled us to help some orphan children and some struggling churches. We put a tin roof on the school hall and the church at Kushai, way, way up there in the hills of Manipur. And some desperately needy people were blessed because of your February offering. We have, and we could mention some of the catastrophes, such as the earthquakes and the typhoons and the storms and the floods, that have been, all of them, creating their own kind of devastation, havoc. Job 24:12 has a very poignant phrase that's written on my heart. "From the city men groan, and the souls of the wounded cry out." And our 21st century world, our year of 2017, has been full of aches and pains all around us. And so many have been wounded and broken by what has happened or is happening to them. And when you think about it, that's the world where we have lived this past year. It's the kind of world to which we have opened our doors. It's the kind of world which, in some small measure, we have sought to serve, to love, to care, to help. And all of the things we have been doing and all that's been going on in our world, all of it has been the warp and the weave that makes up the individual parts of our lives. And in the year almost gone, we have grieved over wayward sons and daughters. I've watched you. You watch me. And there have been moments when we've had to place our hand, a gesture of comfort and care and compassion, on the shoulder of those who have lost a loved one or experienced turmoil and broken relationships. And when I look back at the year, it's been an exciting and challenging year where there have been victory moments, innumerable blessings, glorious moments of answered prayer and gracious fulfilled promises. A little bit of your testimony has been that. But now the year has almost gone. So what? So what? Let me tell you, there is still time to be saved. Now is the day of salvation. There are some things that have to come first in our life, because they become the guidelines for our life. Do you know, when it comes to jigsaw puzzles, the satisfaction is seeing how all the pieces fit together. Let there be a missing piece, or you've placed the wrong pieces somehow together, and everything is spoiled. And without God at the center of our lives, we've lost the most important piece. Something is missing in an individual life when God is not there. Remember the thief dying on a cross alongside Jesus at Calvary? Saw the sign above Jesus' head. This is Jesus. This is the King of the Jews. And he knew straight away, that intuitive moment, that Jesus had a kingdom. So he shouts, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Read in Luke 23. We actually were a bit farther on with our Sunday readings in Luke. We were beyond the resurrection this morning and into the ascension. What was the answer? "Today with me." And the thief had, in effect, cried out for salvation. This is your deathbed conversion. He doesn't need a week-long probation. He doesn't have to do 6 months of good works. So what was the basis of him being accepted into God's kingdom? It was simply faith. That's all God wants. It's all we can offer. That Jesus is the central figure of history. The greatest man who has ever lived. There's no greater Savior than Jesus, because there is no greater person than Jesus. And the power of his person and the magnitude of the mission in his life that he accomplished, culminating in that dramatic moment when he gives himself at Calvary, that sets him apart. There is no one else like him in all the world. There never has been, there never will be. He stands alone above all others, and he always will. For he came to save us and to transform us and then to continue to preserve us and uphold us. And above everything else, as this year draws to its close, he wants to be your Savior. There's still time. If you don't know him as your Savior, there is still time. There are still these few moments, these few hours. You have time to admit that you're a sinner. Have time to believe that God loves you. Time to believe that Jesus died for you, that he rose again so that he could be your Savior and friend. Salvation is not complicated. Romans 5:1 talks about being justified by faith, having peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. John 1 says, "As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the exousia, the authority, the power to become the sons of God." Born anew into his family. Being justified is being made right with God. And the Bible simply describes that as the new birth. What a way to end the year with a new beginning. Saved to live a changed life. Saved to do good things for God. So there's still time. If you don't know the Savior, there's still a moment. Still a moment for you. Number two, there's still time to be saved, there's still time to surrender. What wilt thou have me to do? This encounter on the Damascus Road, experienced by this bigoted, zealous, intriguingly powerful, fearsome Saul of Tarsus. It's the story of a new beginning, the explosive moment when that light shines from heaven and shines on him and throws him to the ground. It's such a surprising moment, and enhanced in it all by a voice that left Saul of Tarsus not just astonished, but trembling, shaking, questioning what it was all about. Now, at this moment, God has got his full attention. And the futility of the amazing religious life that he's been living will become changed. That will not only change his name from Saul of Tarsus to Paul, but will fulfill his destiny. And the man who seemed to have everything was discovering he had nothing. It's not so much that Saul was the persecutor of Christians and is changed to Paul. That is a moment of surrender, a total surrender, that changed his future and impacted the whole world. A never to be forgotten moment. So consequently, when Paul writes to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 12, because of that moment of surrender, he writes to them, he urges them, everybody he contacted, he wanted to say the same. I urge you, beseech is the strong word in the King James. I urge you, offer your bodies, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. I wanted to tell you people, there's still time to do that. To stop resisting God's purpose and will for your life. To surrender those things, habits, views, things that have been holding you back. To let go of those things that mar your relationship at home or with others. We are living in a selfish society with its first, me first policy, its pattern of behavior. It's time to let go. And we need to recognize that the new life is not intended to be a static experience, but the realization of so much more. One of the letters outside at one of the fast food restaurants in the States had blown off. The letter D for dinner. D was missing. So here's how it read. Complete, missing D, complete inner specials, $6.95. To surrender to God, to allow him to bring about an inner special, is something that is so amazing, so wonderful, so precious, so special. And for the early disciples, it was marked by an extraordinary special day and event. It's called, for title's sake, Pentecost. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit that enabled these disciples to live and love and serve as Jesus demanded, as he expected. And Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, will give this admonition that you are to be filled, to keep on being filled with the Spirit, because we face tasks that will be beyond us. So he will empower us and he will enable us. That Pentecost day were full of indicators of the inner special God was bringing about. The wind, the very breath of God. Very breath of God breathed into your life and mine. The fire, the cloven tongues, fire what burns up the dross, that cleanses. The tongues, they could go out there and speak for God. Can I tell you, there's still time to surrender so that the Holy Spirit can enlighten us, showing us what we need, what we must do, how we must proceed, showing us what God has provided. The Holy Spirit coming to enliven us, waking us up to say in 2018, this is the purpose I have for you, to empower us. Because when he comes to empower us, he releases capacities that are within us that we never expected or suspected would be there. There's still time to surrender. Here's my third one. There's still time to see Christ return. Current events have created a renewed interest and zeal to talk about the soon return of the Lord Jesus. His personal return is no remote event. He's heading earthwards. And each day we are getting closer to that climactic moment. In John 14, he says to the disciples, I will come again. That was his promise. He said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to forsake you. I am going to prepare a place for you. For I'm going to come again and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you can be as well. So that he has a promise. I will come again. And he has a plan to receive you to myself. And as you think about the end times, are we there yet? Well, the Bible predicts the signs will be such as an increase in earthquakes, unpredictable weather patterns. Forget the nonsense of the global warming. Talk about El Nino. Talk about some natural facets that God has his hand on. And you will see unpredictable weather patterns. You will see cataclysmic events in the sky. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. You will see there will be territorial disputes, boundary disputes in the Middle East. Everybody wants to harangue Trump. He has actually followed a biblical pattern to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel. And there is a territorial dispute from Hamas, from Hezbollah, from Islas. You want to see the signs? Have a look. Read your Bible and have a look at what's going on about you. It talks about Israel being restored. It talks about the gospel being preached to the whole world. There is a phenomenal outreach strategy at the moment through the satellites in the sky of taking the gospel, spreading the gospel news around the world. There's an increase in knowledge. There's an increase in wickedness. There's an increase in materialism, in immorality, in self-centered living. Just read Matthew 24, 1 Thessalonians 4, Revelation 6. And you say, then what is he going to do? Why is it you are emphasizing this? Because the devil wants you to forget about it. Doesn't want to pay any attention to it because it spells doom for him. That's why I was saying the last hymn with you. But here's the important strategic thing about it. He's going to come back for the purpose of retrieving his followers. The rapture promise is that the dead will come back to life. And we who are alive at that moment of time will be caught up. Literally, the text word is snatched away. And what will happen? Well, Ephesians 3:21 says, then he will subdue all things to himself. And the whole idea of subdue is you put things in order. You correct what is wrong. It carries the idea of putting things in the ranks, in where they should be, in their place. And that's our today problem. We haven't got things in their proper order. Our values are twisted. Our vision is clouded. There is deception, there is delusion in government, in the judiciary, in education, in society, even in the church. There is the breakdown of family and society as a whole. One of the guys that I'm an avid reader of is John Hagee, and he has a phrase, he constantly uses it. Wake up, look up, pack up, because we're going up. But if Christ's return is imminent, what about you and what about me? What's the implication for us? Well, the practical lessons are set out in John, for instance, in his epistle. Whoever has this hope purifies himself. In other words, you straighten out your life. You purify yourself. Here's the second one. You comfort one another with these words. We've lost loved ones. I look at you. Many of you are like myself. You lost someone that's very personal to you. And one day we're going to meet them again. And I can only comfort you with these words. We used to have a song, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love enfolded, sweetly my soul shall rest. I need to bring you comfort when I stand with you by the grave. I need to be able to bring you comfort when I stand with you in the hospital, when I stand and sit in your home. And you need to do the same. And we will comfort one another with these words. And what will we do to the men and women who are outside the doors of our church at this moment? Well, there's a third injunction for those who are looking for Christ's return. You will warn them of the impending judgment that is yet to come. The Bible talks of it in these phrases, the wrath that is to come. So you have to be ready. Not ready sometime, you have to be ready. That's why there's still time. Be ready. Say, I'm ready today. Jesus is coming personally. He's coming visibly. He's going to take to himself the bride. And I look at you. You are part of his church. We're the bride. We're the bride. And you're going to show his great power. And you're going to reign supreme. Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's the one who's walked with us right the way through 2017. And tonight, when the chimes echo the end of the old and bring in the new, he'll be there with you there. Because there's still time to know him as Savior. There's still time to surrender to his claims. And there's still time to see that Christ is coming again. Let's sing a hymn.